Okay. All right, tonight we're going to look at, this is Wednesday, 11:30-22. We're going to look at trusting God's grace for the journey. All right, I'm just going to read here. I wrote down my notes because I want to make sure I get every detail that as it comes to me, I write it down. It says, I remember Brother Hagin talking about Christians think the walk of faith would be like living on flowery clouds of ease. Or something to that effect.
Flowery.
That's what I said. Like living on flowery beds of ease. You know, like nothing could be further from the truth. If the truth were known, most would not even be a Christian if they knew the truth about how the Christian walk really is. When you begin to walk by faith and follow the Spirit, all hell breaks loose against you. As long as Satan is here, we will with violence have to take what belongs to us. We're a captured operation. That's not just a military term that we hear all the time. But we have been captured. We were captured. Now, Jesus came and set us free, but he gave us instructions on what we have to do, what we might have to go through. All right, Matthew 11:12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. What does that tell you? What happens when you got to get violent? It's probably that you're to the brink and you are just ready to just, kind of like we are now, waiting on things, waiting for things to happen. All right? Suffer there means to force, to crowd oneself into, or to be seized. Satan, by tricking Adam, took control. Jesus stripped him of his power and authority. But as a Christian, we have to enforce that authority. It's not just going to drop in our lap, like I said. Flowery beds of ease. That's not the case. I told this before. I'll tell it again. When we first got, Danny got born again. I'd been born again since I was 11. But this man said, never in the scripture has any Christians ever had to suffer. And I'm, you know, at that time, I didn't know nothing. But I'm thinking, he must have had a different Bible, a real revised standard, to even make that statement. Now you can see why Christians are the way they are. If one little thing goes bad, they're just all up in the air and they have to have the pastor's help, or they have to have a prayer chain praying for them and doing all of these things. I mean, for the most part, I think a lot of people's problems is they're just under attack of the evil one and they need to stand their ground because they don't know how. They've not been taught how. All right. Think about a small, crowded space. When we first begin to take back what Satan has stolen from us, it is this way. We are invading seized territory. It's just like the Strong says about this word, like coming out of a cramped womb into the world. Labor pains take place to attain our place. Think about it, childbirth. That baby is being born into the world to take their place in this earth. So as we become born again Christians, what happens? We have been born again to take back what the devil has stolen. Forcibly, if necessary. Violence here is the same word. It's the same 971 and suffereth. It's violence is also the same word. If you think about it, childbirth is pretty violent on the child. You know, we think about the mother and the pain and suffering of the mother, but nobody really thinks about how hard it is on that baby. to come through that small opening into this world. It's violent. That's why they come out crying. Yeah? All right. Many Christians know nothing about the way things really are. If they encounter any little thing, they have a meltdown. I can't even remember whenever we even began to really understand about warfare. It was a long time. All right? They just don't understand that the kingdom, how the kingdom way is, especially since Satan has stolen everything and now we must go in, run him off, and take it back. He's not going to just give it up. Well, yeah, you win. He's one of these that you're going to have to force him off. He knows what Jesus did. He knows he was spoiled. He knows he was stripped. But if he can keep the con on you, he'll do it. And unless you get violent about it, he ain't going nowhere. We ought to see that in the world we are today with the kind of people that we're messing with. All right? Everyone has suffered as a result of the thief. Everyone. Everyone has been robbed. Everyone has been stolen from by this thief and lied to. Okay, let's look at another scripture here. Mark 10. Verse 30. Well, let me go to 29. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake, and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now, in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. Here's what persecutions are. It means to pursue. You start standing your ground and you start going after your stuff, guess what? All hell breaks out. You become a target to the enemy. Now I stole this stuff and you're not getting it. And you have to say, oh yes I am. And I'm not backing down, I'm not stopping. If I have to get violent, I will. But I'm not stopping and I'm not backing down. All right. One more. 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 7. Paul here talking about the trouble, all the trouble he'd seen here. At least, this is 7, at least, 2 Corinthians, did I say first, sorry. I didn't think I said second, I didn't say first, I said second. At least I should be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. He got it, didn't he? He knew it. He knew exactly what he had to do. We are assured gain, but we will be pursued. These are the afflictions of the gospel. This is 2 Timothy 1:8. See, Paul, just like us, we wanted to go before the Lord and have the Lord lift this thing off of me. Lord, get this thing off of me. Lord said, no can do. But my grace will help you go through. Okay? I know that's not popular. It's no one wants to hear that. In fact, there's people that I've heard, you know, on social media and stuff talking about the things they go through, and they're going everywhere, trying every kind of natural remedy, going to natural specialists or going to doctors and doing things to try to get things off of them and to help them. And the only thing in the world they're going through is just what I'm talking about right here. If they would use the Word of God, because you know what? No eating program, no natural remedies, nothing the doctor can give you is going to whip the devil. For the weapon of your warfare isn't what? Carnal. If that would have worked, it would have worked for me years ago. No, it's spiritual. He is a renegade spirit. And he has to be put in place by the sword of the Spirit. He cannot be whipped by natural means. You're just chasing your tail, wearing yourself out, running here, running there, spending money. If people could just get that and realize we have a real enemy. I hear the same people saying, yeah, I know Jesus has healed me, but they advertise every natural remedy in the world on their website. I'm going, do you even know what you're saying? I don't think so. I don't think you understand what you're saying. What do you not get about the weapons of my warfare aren't carnal? You're not going to whip the devil naturally. You're going to whip him spiritually. Are you not going to whip him? I think the sooner we come to this realization, we'll be like Paul. After asking three times, he finally said, okay, I get it. It ain't going to come the way I want it to come. It ain't going to just leave me. I'm going to have to learn to walk through it, and I'm going to have to stand, and I'm going to have to be strong. Because you know what? You whip the devil in a certain area, he'll leave you alone for a while. Just like the temptation of Jesus. The devil didn't immediately leave the first temptation. Let's go look at that. It was a cycle of temptations. It was a season of temptations. All right, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. That means he was in God's will. He was in God's will. Well, I must have missed it. To be where I'm at, I just must have missed it. You're missing the point. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And in his weakened state, here comes the devil. When you feel like you're the weakest, you feel like a pile of dog poo down there. You are so kicked about and so whipped. You don't feel like you can do anything else. And I know exactly what I'm talking about. Listen to me, because you're going to need it. Here comes the enemy to make it even worse. Right here. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Well, the Lord told him not to eat, I guess, evidently. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He responded correctly. He knew this is a spiritual enemy, and I have to deal with him in the spirit. Me eating bread, what's that going to help? And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Then he said he returned in the power. Then he returned in the power of the Spirit. What happened? What would have happened if he gave in? He wouldn't have passed the test. I guess it would have been one more trek around the mountain. Yep. All right. Afflictions means to suffer hardship. This is 2 Timothy. Did I read that to you, 2 Timothy? I don't think I did. 1:8. That's not right. It's first. It must be 1 Timothy. It is. I wrote 2, but it's 1. No, I'm wrong. Wait a minute. 2 Timothy 1:8. Let me look here. 1:8. I just wrote it down wrong. All right. What am I looking for here? All right, it's 2. It's 2:8. No, it's 2. Gosh, I don't know where I meant there. Well, let's just go to 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. It says, Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So, anyway, afflictions here.
Chapter 1, verse 8 says
chapter 1, 8. It sure does. See, I was not wrong after all. Okay. All right. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. All right. That word afflictions right there means hardship, just like in 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4 we just read. Okay. Hardness means undergo hardship or affliction. Why you're not going with the flow of the captured operation, you know? But you're going against the grain and taking back dominion. It's going against the natural order of things. Yeah. That's why it's so difficult. That's why it's nearly violence to push through and birth something into the natural realm. All right. It's because of what you're doing right, not because of what you're doing wrong. The first thing we want to look at is, well, okay, Lord, where'd we miss it? Where'd we miss it? Well, I led you here. It's like he led Jesus there. Jesus didn't say, okay, Lord, where did I miss it? But see, we tend to think, well, we can't be like Jesus. Oh, my gosh, that's sacrilege. No, it's ridiculous is what it is. We're just like Jesus. And we go through the same things that he went through. Why in the world did he walk it out before us if he was just going to be the only one that ever... A lot of people believe that. Oh, no, you know, you can't. No, that's that religious thing. I can see religious demons telling people those kind of things. Oh, no, we can't be like Jesus. I heard someone that ought to know better say, well, you know, we don't have dominion. We don't have dominion. I'm thinking, first chapter in the Bible says we have dominion. What's wrong with you? It's all through the Bible about dominion, Old and New Testament. Anyway, I get on my soapbox, I'm thinking, if I was talking to you right now, I'd show you right in the scripture. Oh, yes, we do. Well, God, just let us borrow it, you know. Okay. All right. Imagine you're a soldier and you come under fire. What? Why would you come under fire? Because you're over the target. You stepped into enemy territory. Yeah. Paul, the apostle, called these afflictions light. All right. This is 2 Corinthians 4. You know, I at one time was talking to a lady, and I won't say who the lady was, but when the Lord first started talking to me back in 1999 about dominion and about, I never heard of the Seven Mountain Mandate, but it was a movement back in the 70s and 80s from what I understand. And most, even Word of Faith people, they kind of snubbed their nose a little bit at that dominion. And this person I was talking to, Word of Faith, they kind of act funny. And I'm thinking, well, I don't care if you think it's funny or not. It's just that's what God began to show me about taking dominion. And I said, and I come into the Seven Mountain Mandate. I said, the Lord was speaking to me, the Seven Mountain Mandate, years before I even knew what it was or even found out what was called, what the Lord was speaking to me about. Because he had told me when I was flying to Ohio that time, looking out the window, he said, I never meant for the airlines to be into the hands of the devil and his bunch. In other words, I never meant for anything to be in the hands of the enemy. I meant for you to take dominion over all of it. He meant that in Genesis 1. Why they get that? Because maybe there was something that went off the rails, and so now they go, you know, if one little thing goes wrong, then we just throw it all out. You throw out the baby with the bathwater. Mm-hmm. And then you get a closed mindset and you will not hear the truth. There's the devil's tactic. All right, this is 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Do you get it? His glory. Our flesh suffers. Why? It keeps our flesh under, so we don't take his glory. That's why Paul had the message of Satan that buffeted him, because of the revelations that the man was receiving. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up him that raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but to the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So Paul's talking about this little light momentary period of time where you're a servant suffering that affliction. Just think about eternity forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, basking in God's glory. Compare the two. That's what he's saying here. It's not about what's going on the outside. It's what's eternal. Look to what's eternal, not what's going on the outside. That's why he could say this is a light affliction. So, what is this walk of faith all about? Is it about just getting things? No, it's about taking dominion and taking what is rightfully ours. God gave us dominion. All right? Genesis. I'd like to send this to this person that I heard saying, oh, we don't have dominion. I'm thinking, my feathers get ruffled. I'm going, I'm so to the point that I'm fed up with people discrediting the Word of God. All right, Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and all over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. So do it. That means devil. I got my foot on your neck. Subdue it. That's what it means. Replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over everything that moveth upon the earth. Then he talks about, I've given you all these things. He's given you everything that you need to succeed in your dominion. Oh, I'm going to tell you in the future, I'm going to have fun with some people. They may not like me very much, but you know what? Ask me if I care. I'm going to defend this word because I am getting very, very... I don't want to hear another person discredit one word of God that is not relevant. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I was telling somebody last night on the phone, my daughter, I said, she wants to get all these extra books and do all this stuff. And I said, you know, that's fine. But I said, the Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church. And he lives inside of you. You don't need to be looking here and looking there and looking there. You've got enough of what you got to find your answers. See, I do believe that's a plot of the devil. There is no word of God that's devoid of power. If all, like I was telling you, I don't even know where I came across this, where this, I don't know if it was a tribe or some place where it was just, they didn't have the word of God. They had one page. And God did marvelous things through these people. They had one page. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I mean, it is. If that's all you got, then you use what you got. Instead of wait until we can get 600 more or whatever. Ephesians 1. I believe it's an attack of the devil. To sow confusion where you don't know what to do, so you just don't do nothing. Like I was telling you about the guy I listened to get a news update. He's read it one time, the Bible one time his whole life. He said, flat earth is BS. And I'm going, you don't know your head from a hole in the ground. You've read the Bible once in your life. And because Well, they stole everything, so you tossed it away and you don't read it anymore? And you're an expert? And I'm supposed to listen to you? He's been made unto us wisdom. The word you have in you? Who do you think the word in you is? Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We need to put this to rest. All right, quit listening to people that discredit God's word. All right, first Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, hath put all things under His feet, gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And He lives in you. There's a much bigger picture here. All right, Satan has nearly controlled the whole world, and he did it by what? How did he do it? Dominion. Dominion. All right, Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. How does He reign? Romans 5:17. Mission statement of this ministry. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. I was reading Daniel chapter 7 this morning, and the Holy Spirit quickened to me about the dominion machines. And so I'm going to read Daniel chapter 7. And I want you to just, every time I read dominion, I want you to think about dominion machine, okay? All right. He's been speaking to me several. I'm reading through the Bible. We're coming down to the last of the year, and I'm reading the book of Daniel, and the Lord's really speaking to me some things out of the book of Daniel. And so, Chapter 7. In the year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. The first was like a lion, had eagle's wings. Now we see this over here, I think it's chapter 13 of Revelation, what he's seen. All right. I beheld to the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And beheld another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side and had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. And all this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which is upon the back of it, four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. This is the beast system. All right. After this I saw the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stepped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns This is the Antichrist beast system. Now see, Daniel had dreams concerning different kingdoms, those that rose up like the statue. So keep that in mind. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. And I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, this is the Antichrist, the little horn, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. We know that the Antichrist and the false prophet, or whoever is the leader of this beast system, is going in the pit. They're going to lake of fire. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. Think about the news, the mainstream media. There's his voice. The beast system's voice. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. They've had us captive for now since 1913 anyway, really since the corporation 1870 whatever. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, the fourth Reich. Remember, I've taught about the fourth Reich. Which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. What's going on right now? And the 10 horns out of the kingdoms are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. He shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. They're trying to take the Constitution away from us. And they shall be given into his hand. See, you know why? That the United States is the last bastion? It's because we have a Constitution. No other nation in the world has a Constitution. In fact, they've all given up their guns. And they shall be given into his hand until time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion. How have they done this? They've gone in and made banana republics out of glorious, wonderful nations that used to be like the U.S., and now they are nothing but a third world cesspool. Venezuela's one of them. This is what they've been doing with their dominion voting machines. They have hijacked every leader, every nation, every election, all over the world. And this is how they've taken dominion of the earth. like I said, we're the last shining hope. Everybody's watching the U.S. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much trouble me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Daniel saw what we are going through today, taking dominion over dominion. That's what's going on right now. I mean, I thought, Lord, you're right. You know what dominion means? It means empire. Empire. Yeah. They have built their empire on lying, stealing, and manipulating. Their machines are rightly named. These cheating devices are, I don't know what that word was I was writing. They've leveled, like I said, countries. They've been doing it for a long time, at least 50 years from what I understand. They aim to take out the whole world. There's only one problem with that, and that is us. We're not going to let him do it. He's raised up a remnant. Do you know during the Civil War we all thought everybody fought? No. There was a very small percentage of the population was even willing to fight, and they did. And they won for a short time. All right? All right, we will not allow it to happen. We're willing to go through the hardship to kick that illegal from our territory. Until that angel shows up with that chain in his hand to go to throw that monster in the pit, we will stand and keep on standing until we win. God is with us. All right, I want to read to you Daniel chapter 3, and then we'll be done. You may feel like you're in the fire right now, but let me tell you, guess who's in the fire with us? All right, chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an emerald or herald called aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fours is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was there an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants to trust in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, language, which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. I believe the Lord's in the fire with us. Whatever we're going through, he's with us. And so we need to take heart. Think of this story. You know, we come out not all like a, you know, broken down. We come out without any smell of smoke on us. And we walk through the fire. All right.